We left off yesterday trying to figure out what is the correct bracha on rice. And we realized that rice is most probably the orez of Chazal, and therefore it falls into that very, very strange category that it receives a mezonos at the beginning, but bracha chrona is not al mechia, bracha chrona is a bar nefashos. We spoke about what if one has other kinds of grains that are similar to rice, in the sense that they also fill you up. We spoke about maybe the potato flour, the almond flour, the quinoa flour, those kinds of things. So there we said no. There we said, according to most opinions, the bracha would not be mezonos. The bracha on those kinds of grains, those kinds of grain products would actually be shahakol. What if a person by mistake made a bar mitzvah mezonos on one of those other kinds of grains? Would we insist that you repeat the bracha? So the answer is most probably not. And really for a combination of reasons. If a person went ahead and he had his potato starch, Pesach cookies or something, he made a mezonos. So first of all, you could argue that, well, there was one opinion in Rishonim that all grains end up getting mezonos. When the Gemara speaks about rice was an example of different kinds of grains that fill you up, satiate you. So even though they're not from the chameshas b'nei dov, they're not from the official Torah grains, wheat, barley, etc., but they are significant enough to warrant the mezonos with the bar nefashos. So maybe one can argue that b'di'evit, if a person made a mezonos on the Pesach cookies or on the almond cookies or on the quinoa flour, all that stuff, maybe one can argue that b'di'evit that would be okay. But there's another reason to argue why it would be acceptable b'di'evit, and that is a more general question. Does mezonos exempt everything b'di'evit? Person sat down and had an apple and he made a mezonos. Person had a piece of chicken and he made a mezonos. Would he be yaitse the bracha with the evidence or not? So at first glance, no, it's not the right bracha. He made the incorrect bracha. Oh, wait. The Mishnah tells us the kula mibir shahakol yatsa. If a person recites shahakol on anything but the evidence good, made shahakol on a piece of bread, yaitse. Made shahakol on an apple, yaitse. Why is that? It's a true statement. Shahakol, yeah, b'dvara. So one could argue that there's a rule of brachas that although Chazal did institute specific brachas, the chetchila is supposed to have specific brachas, like mashal madavidome, you go to somebody's house for a meal and you walk out and say, everything was great. Okay, that's nice. But if you say, wow, the chicken was great, and the soup was phenomenal, the dessert was unbelievable, and you spell out each drop of prat, that's an even greater shevach. So to Chazal instituted, if you said shahakol, you yotzei. He's supposed to say mezonos on this, and I don't know that, and that, I got that, and that, all the brachas brought you since. But push comes to shove, in birach al-kulim shakal yotza, if you said shakal, you know, yotza, if to all the din is, kohananem and omazebli bracha, you're not allowed to enjoy something in this world without a bracha. I made a bracha. If I made a bracha, that's not a true statement. So that bracha doesn't relate to what he ate. An emotional person gets up and he's having a bagel. He says, "Baruch Hashem, we're going to burn priag offen." That's a true statement. It's a true but irrelevant statement. Because Baruch was born with the priag offen, but that's not with your pizza, not with your bagel. So if you make a bracha that doesn't relate at all to what you're eating, that's not an acceptable b'di'evit. But if you made a bracha that's true, but just not as good as it could have been, so that l'chor is what the Mishnah says in Kol Birch Shachol Yotzah. So that's the view of the Chayyadim and a whole group of Acharayim would say, if the bracha of Bari Menei Mezonos is also a type of bracha, the d'evid would be good at anything that's called mazon. What is called mazon? So the Gemara says, in other context, the word mazon really means food. The Gemara says, a cup of water is not mazon. Salt is not mazon. But an apple is mazon. A piece of chicken is mazon. So even though the correct bracha would not have been mezonos to start with, the d'evid of one recited mezonos, that would be acceptable. So that's one view in Acharonim. And there are others who suggest, no, that ain lo elamashal v'chazal. Chazal say in the Mishnah, in birach shahakol yotzah, okay, that was a special dispensation for shahakol. Shahakol covers everything. Mizonos, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Just because it's true, it doesn't necessarily mean that you fulfilled your mitzvah of brachas with it. So it's unclear whether those acharonim are correct. So the Mishabura quotes those earlier acharonim and others who maintain that b'di'evit mizonos is good on anything. And therefore, if a person made a mistake and he had made a mezonos on his Pesach cookies, so he would still be yotzei, but not everybody agreed to that. So actually, the one who disagreed with that is Rabbi Kiveger and a comment on the Tosfos in a little bit related sugya to us. Let's take a look at the sixth of the Marim Kavos, where the Gemara has a rule called Sheyesh Bo Mechabeshes Aminim Mevarch LaBarmin Mezonos. So the Gemara has a famous principle that whatever has anything for the five species of grain, the wheat, barley, etc., in it, the bracha is always mezonos. And that statement, kosher yesh bo, breaks the regular rules of Ika V'Tofel. We know that the Mishnah tells us later on in brachas But there's a rule that governs brachas called ikar v'tofel. If I'm eating two foods together, and that's always a tricky question, what do you mean together? When I'm eating two foods that are literally together, one of them is my main purpose, and the other one is kind of secondary. Let's say, for example, cereal and milk. Why does a person put milk in a cereal? If he really wants to drink milk, he'll take himself a cup of milk. He doesn't really want to drink milk. He really wants to have the bowl of cereal. Hello, what? It's dry. It's not as tasty. So you put a little bit of milk in to give it a little bit of a better, make it eat a little bit smoother. So you do not make a shahakol on the milk. The milk is tofel to the cereal. So most of the time, to determine ikar v'tofel, we look at certain factors. One factor is one food clearly coming to serve the other food? Like in this case, the milk is serving the cereal. The cereal is not growing the milk. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, oh, you know what? I'd love to have a cup of milk to drink. But you know what? Let me put a little cereal into my milk to give. That's not what happens. Obviously, you want the cereal, and the milk is coming to serve the cereal. So that's the primary din of ikar v'tofel. Then there's another din that appears in Rishonim. Let's say you have two foods, and I really like both of the foods, but the foods are mixed together, and one is not serving the other, but one is the majority. So then you follow the rov. So the rov of this particular mixture is such and such. Then the bracha follows the rov. Then you have details in the poskim. What's called the mixture? What if the pieces are discernible? What if the pieces are not discernible? What if I take a spoon and not all the parts of the food go on the spoon? So you have a lot of details that relate to sugya a little bit later on. But there's one rule that trumps all these rules, and that's mizonos. The Gemara says that grain, the five pieces of grain, is so chashuv that if they're in a mixture, so then the bracha is always mizonos. Even though they're not the primary ingredient, even though they're not the majority ingredient, if there's mezonos in there, then the bracha is mezonos. It's a mashal cholent. I mean chamesh, not rice. Rice doesn't have that special quality, correct? Let's say, for example, a person has a bowl of cholent. So you take a spoonful of cholent. So in the spoonful of cholent, there's some beans, there's some rice, there's a sliver of meat, whatever things your wife puts in the cholent. So what brachas are the cholent? So l'chora, that's a tarovus. It's a mixture. It's all together in the same shot. And there is barley in the cholent. The barley is mizonah. So then the bracha on cholent is mizonah. So you don't have to make a separate bracha on each thing. If a person, let's say, eats cholent in a way, he's got a big fat potato, and he eats the potato as a separate entity, that's already a different story. Maybe that the potato is not part of the tarovus. Maybe one could argue that. You know, we have Friday night chulin, so in shul, so we have a shiur every Friday night in the winter time, so we have a chulin. So the guys like to put little slices of the meat inside, not just like slivers of meat, but what is it? You know what I'm talking about? It's not kishke. It's like sliced hot dogs. I don't know what it is. So those things sometimes are separate and distinct. So it's not part of the tarovus. So maybe you have to make a shock on that, maybe. But if you eat it the shoulders, one big shoulder, so then the bracha wouldn't be mezonos. So the Gemara says, even though that's the rule, that mezonos always carries the day, chamesh v'adang always carries the day, there's an exception even to that rule. So the rule is ikar v'tofel, the exception is mezonos, now the exception to the exception. What if I'm putting the mezonos in there, putting the flour in there, not to give taste, not because I really want to eat it? It's simply being used, what the Gemara calls the devik bialma, being used as a binder, being used to keep the food together. So the marshal, I have gefilte fish, and inside the gefilte fish is matzo meal. Oh, mezonos, because it's chamesh min adabim. You're not putting in matzo meal to give it taste. You're putting in matzo meal to hold it together. Haraya, do an experiment. Look at the kosher pesach of gefilte fish, which does that matzo meal. We know what happens to it. So Susabekhtashirin falls into little pieces. So when the goal of the mizonos is simply the goal of the chamesh v'adam is simply to hold it together, that's not considered to be an ikar, and therefore the bracha would not be. So those are the general rules that govern over the brachas. You have a lot of nuances. Sometimes it's not 100% clear what the goal of putting the flour in. There's a famous machlokes about the licorice. It goes back to the 1960s. We know that licorice, the Twizzlers. Twizzlers is flour. It's flour with sugar and red stuff and all kind of delicious stuff that's all wrapped around the flour. It's basically a strip of flour. So what's the bracha on licorice? So years ago, when somebody brought some licorice to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and they asked him, what's the bracha on licorice? So Rav Moshe said, what's in this thing? Europe would have licorice. What's that Twizzler? What's inside? So he said, oh, I'll tell you what's inside a Twizzler. It's flour. So Rav Moshe said, it's flour and Twizzler. The bracha is mezonos. They didn't exactly explain to Rav Moshe what the goal of the flour was. So then later, so in the early brachas books, it wrote that the bracha on Twizzlers is mezonos. Then the later books, they realized, wait a second. the whole reason when they're putting a flour, no one wants to eat flour. When you sit down and have a Twizzler, stop shot, I'm really, really hungry. I really want to have a good piece of a flour. That's not the pshat. The pshat is you want to have sugar and red food coloring. That's what your goal is, because it really, really tastes good. Oh, what? We're going to sit and have a spoonful of sugar and red dyes. So somebody came up with this great idea. You take a piece of flour, make a long strip, make it look cute, and the kids like to munch on it, but basically the average kid went, there's flour in it. He doesn't even know there's flour in it. The whole goal is to eat the sugar, to eat the red stuff. So the positive shot is the brook on that is shock, all that the goal of the flour is just that we have. But there is flour in it. So you have to remember before Pesach that licorice is mchavit gomer, mamish, 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 belishim sof, it's mamish, it's literally chavit. But back to that story. So sometimes you have a situation where it's not clear why you're putting the flour in. So Tosfos addresses that question. Tosfos doesn't talk about Twizzlers, Tosfos talks about something else. So Tosfos in the sixth of the Ramah Kamos, the Tosfos writes that Chol sheyesh bo chamesh tamidim v'rachol b'mezuzos v'chein lights b'la'as she'osu b'kemach u'mayim u'mechalav, either some kind of a liquid with water and flour or milk of flour v'rachol b'mezuzos v'chein k'shedosu b'kemach asoch pulin asoch adosh v'krishin. If a person mixes flour into beans and other kinds of lentils, other kinds of vegetables, v'chein asoch shkedim, there was a mixture that we put some almonds together with flour. This was a good dish for the cholera. So now Tosfos says it gets a little bit tricky. If the reason why you're putting the flour in is to satiate you, to fill you up, then you have to make mezonos. So if there's a positive purpose of putting the flour, either because you like the taste of the flour or because it adds to the nutritional and you really, really, when you're hungry, then the brach is mezonos. What if you're only putting in the flour just to keep the almond paste together? So we know the Gemara says, where's the Beferish? If it's Devek B'Alma, then the bracha does not become Mizonos. But look at Tosfos Lashon. Devek B'Alma, Eino Tzorech Levarech Bar B'nei Mizonos. What's problematic with that Lashon? Eino Tzorech? Eino Yochol? The Gemara says the correct bracha would not be mizonos. It's a very, very strange lashon. Eino tzorech. So now it also says v'tov lahach v'legom b'soch hasuda v'yachav b'chas hamoitzi upadim manoshav. Says Tosfos, it's better to avoid this whole shaila. Wash first. You know, the age-old solution to the problem of brachas. Wash first. Why is Tosfos telling you to wash? But they just told you what they didn't want. The answer is not always easy to tell. Sometimes it's not so simple to discern. What is my kavanah? Is the kavanah really truly to fill me up? Is the kavanah just that piyama? Sometimes says sometimes it's not so clear. Therefore, we still think it's always better to wash. But that lashon of Tosfos, that if it would be with devek piyama, eino tzarech amak b'mizonos, was a tricky lashon. So Rabbi Kiveger on the spot has the following ha'ara. Lishta kaitahu, says Rabbi Kiveger, Mar Machmor Rabbi Sefer, that the lashon of Tosfos is a little bit short, a little bit cut out. Madenokto ein tzarech levarach. It's not a very meduyik lashon. You can't recite mezonos. Now when Kiveger comes to the punchline, because if them to learn that the flour is only put in there to give it as a binding, so then you just made mezonos on almonds. Three words of Kiveger, that'd be bracha levatola. And everybody knows this with Kiveger, that's a bracha levatola. That's a bracha levatola. I just got finished saying in the name of the Chai Adam, that you can make mezonos on apples and oranges and anything you name it, and you yotze, because mazon means mazon. That's right, the Chayodim says it. Right, and Rav Kiveger disagrees. Kiveger lived the same time as the Chayodim, and Kiveger, in his comments and his taisis, clearly holds mezonos is not a bracha klolos. It's not something that tatters everything. Shakal, yeah, mezonos, no. So getting back to that story, so we think we know what the correct bracha on orez is. We're pretty comfortable that orez is rice, and therefore we're okay to make mezonos on it. Just in case we're wrong, in case we goofed, in case the arosa is not really the orez of Chazal, we don't have to feel too guilty when we make mezonos on rice, because we always have two other things in our back pocket. Besides the fact that we think we're right, number two, according to many Rishonim, other grains also get mezonos. It wasn't only rice. So even if rice is not the orez of Chazal, it's no worse for potato starch. And we always have in the back of the back of the back of my pocket is the chayot. That if you make mezonos on anything but the evidence, okay. But let's be honest, the Kiveger doesn't agree to that. So la halacha, we're still fairly comfortable reciting mezonos on rice because we are pretty convinced that is the orez of Chazal. And even if we're wrong, we still have a couple of insurance policies to back us up. So we have our rice. We're all ready to recite a mizonos on our rice. But now we run into a little bit of a problem. Kubega says the bracha of Torah. Right? I didn't say we pass. Most of them probably don't hold Kubega, but Kubega did hold that way. So we're okay with. No, he said anything. If you make a mizonos on apple, you're not yet. So comes the Shulchan Aruch in the ninth of the Mamakobos and starts to put a little bit of the breaks on the mizonos on rice. And the Shulchan Aruch got it from the Gemara, got it from the Shulchan Aruch, who figured it out from the Gemara, the following possible limitations. So take a look at the ninth of the Mamakobos. Hakoseis esa orez. If a person takes just simply a grain of rice, so he just swallows a whole grain of rice, didn't do anything, there was no process that was done to the rice, that's called hakoseis esa orez. Then the bracha is not mizonos, the bracha is adama. It's actually parallel to wheat. If a person just takes a kernel of wheat, just kind of chews it up and swallows it, that's also not called bor mnei mizonos. So you have to actually process it to work on it. You see, but you make a bor pri adama, both on the whole rice kernels as well as on the whole wheat kernels. You have to put the bracha bor mnei mizonos. The im bishlo, if you begin to cook up the rice, so the Ramah adds achen ismaich. So when you cook the rice, it starts to dissolve a little bit. Or even if you don't cook it to dissolve, you start to crush it up. But also you let it pass, and you break it up into rice flour, and now you bake something out of it. In all these cases, mevorech alav bor mnei mizonos v'acharav bor nefashos. So you recite a mizonos at the beginning and bor nefashos at the end. So these are two examples that were given that avoid the quote unquote kosis as an orez problem. The Gemara says explicitly, if you don't process the rice, then it's like a vegetable that's just a regular bor pri adama. What's called processing it? So we saw two examples. Either you grind it, you chop it up and make it to flour, and then you rebake it into a rice bread or rice cookies or something. That's for sure called processing the rice. That's for sure the brachas bezonos. Or the Ramah wrote, if you cook it, until it starts to lehisma'ech, starts to break away, starts to break into pieces, that's also considered to be enough of a processing. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, Ache nismaich, haydu afil nismaich ktsasai de bishul. It doesn't have to totally deteriorate, but it has to break up a little bit of akashem. But daim shleimim, if you have whole pieces of rice that didn't separate, didn't break apart, didn't start to come apart at all, Mevarech borei pri hadama. So says the Mishnah Berurah, if you have a regular whole grain of rice, a piece of rice that hasn't been chopped up, hasn't separated, nothing's happened to it, that is the halakha equivalent of koseis as a orez, where the bracha is hadama. And the Mishnah Berurah goes a little further. The efshar, we get at least an efshar out of the Mishnah Berurah. The afilu im rakusa klipa sa orez. What if you didn't chop the rice up into a million pieces, but you remove the outer part, the peel, the shell of the rice, kamo b'shalonu, like the rice that we are eating in Radin. So on the one hand, it's a whole kernel. You haven't ground it up to rice flour. On the other hand, the outer part, the bran, whatever the equivalent, endosperm, I don't know exactly the literal terms are, it's equivalent to the bran of the gray, of the wheat. If that was removed, he says that he quotes the Supreme God who says it's probably, hopefully, the bracha would be mizonos for that as well. What kind of rice was the Chofetz Chaim eating? We call white rice. Means the whole, the bran part was taken off, it was white rice. So the Mishnah Berurah is willing to say that's probably a mizonos. But if you made adama on the white rice, you're also okay, because we're not even so convinced that that's called breaking up the rice. So it's this Mishnah Berurah, this Shulchan Aruch Ramah Mishnah Berurah, that raised a red flag about other kind of rice, i.e. brown rice. Our brown rice, nothing's happened to it. It was not ground up the flour. It was not broken into little pieces. Even the outer part was not even removed. Our brown rice, the chora, should be a replica of Chazal's kosher sesa oiras.
Is this
something that you don't cook it? No, you don't even cook it. It's only if you cook it actually smaich. Only if it has to cook and then begin to separate. If you just cook it, then it's just a whole grain. Nothing hasn't been processed in the sense of broken down at all, and the bracha remains adama. So the question becomes, where does this place also in terms of our rice? There's brown rice over there, the white rice. Those who go to chopsticks and order the white rice, those whose wives tell them that they have to order brown rice because it's healthier, not the fried rice, I didn't say that. The brown rice, those who like the brown rice, it's a little healthier. So, the whole piece of barley, the chont, the whole piece of barley, is the barley, when the barley cooks away in the chont, does it start to shed a little bit? I think at least the outer part is taken off, so it's better than the rice. The brown rice, mamash hasn't been touched. Brown rice comes, pull it out of the rice patties, and throw it into a pot of water, put it on your table. So that's a potential problem. So there are different opinions in the contemporary poskim where the bracha lies for brown rice. So that some poskim took literally right out of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam Mishmur says, guess what? Brown rice is adama. It's kosher zechita. It causes iris because you didn't treat it at all. Nothing. Not cooked, not destroyed in cooking, not ground into flour, not even removed the outer part. It's simply a bari bria adama. And other said, where did this cloud come? Why is this true? Why is it that kaisas achita, hocus pocus, the bracha is not reserved? Why is the bracha all of a sudden hadama and kaisas achita? So Rabbeinu Yonah writes and says, bracha, the answer is very simple. This is a throwback to an old theory of brachas called kederach. Generally, the rule of his brachas is the more you eat things normally, the more the bracha remains the same. The minute you begin to deviate from the normal patterns of achila, you're asking for trouble in his brachas. We saw this a little bit. We spoke about fruit juices a little bit. We have this principle. We have other applications of this principle. Shinuyim in his brachas doesn't do well for the original bracha. Comes up Ben Yonah and says, well, the normal way of eating rice is to make it into rice flour or to chop it up or to cook it that it's totally disintegrated. That's the who in their right mind goes to the rice paddies, takes a piece of rice, and just throws it into hot water and without removing anything from it? Shalaki dech achila, says Rabbi Yada. I'm asking. In Babylonia, in the year 300, shalaki dech achila. In Spain, in the days of Rabbi Yada, shalaki dech achila. In Radin, in 1900, it's shalaki dech achila. But in 2023, you ask for brown rice in the Chinese store. They're like, you're crazy. You're a mishugano. Who eats red brown rice? Everybody's brown rice. Half the rice on the shelves of brown rice. That's healthier. Maybe it's not, I can't tell you, but there's definitely a market for brown rice. And therefore, one could argue that even though our brown rice is physically the kosher zechita of Chazal, but it's radically different because for us, it's normal. So whenever something becomes normal for us, then the bracha goes back to where it should be, all the way back to Mizonis. So yesh v'yesh. So if you look at some bracha's books, I don't want you to get out of the brachas piece. So you got to make sure you know which book is passing for your school. So some books will say the bracha is hadama. They're following straight Mishnah Berurah. And the others will put a little star asterisk and say that, well, b'zman hazeh, it could be that the bracha really is mezonos. So yesh v'yesh in terms of the brown rice. But the evan, either one you make, you would still be yotzei because the mice, it's either mazon or it's hadama. So either one, at least misafik, would be accepted. But this idea of the kosher orez is really not unique to rice. It's actually part of kosher in general, because in the same rice, in the same breath, the Gemara says that kosher achita also makes a bar pri adama. You take a whole grain and you don't do anything to it, so the bracha is a bar pri adama. But actually, kosher achita is more complicated than kosher orez for the following reason. Kosher achita is the bar pri adama at the beginning, but what's unclear is what's the bracha at the end? What's the bracha charona for the kosher? Okay, the guy takes a whole grain of wheat and he simply cooks it up and eats it as a whole grain. It wasn't touched, nothing was removed. What's the bracha charona on such a food? So the ora, you made a bar pri adama. It's hard to imagine that the bracha is going to be anything different than a bar nefashos. It's not going to be an alamichya. How in the world do you make an alamichya? You made an adama alamichya. That would be the opposite of rice. That doesn't make any sense. So alamichya is out of the question. So the chora, the bracha is going to be a bar nefashos. Not so simple. So take a look at Tosus on the 10th of the Mamre Kamos. The Tosus writes, the second line of the Tosus, immediately achra, because it's a chita story, yesh l'safik mayim b'varchim. Catch this, Tosfos made up a fourth bracha. Bracha Hashem al Adama, we have pre Adama, we have to Sasada, if they have Hashem, it's a pre Adama. It's inconceivable. We never find that you don't make Mizonos and then make it al Michya. You don't make a bar prayer, it's an apple to make an alamichia. So how can you make a bar prayer dom on something and I make an alamichia? So Rabbi Natam, he gave a machzah shalom. So Rabbi Natam wrote it to his machzah. The Rishon used the word machzah, but we call it sinner. But Rabbi Natam wrote in his sinner, aladama v'apriha doma. Rabbi Natam had that in his text, in his brachas book. It said, that's the bracha korona. V'chazabo. And then Rabbi Natam and his lady years back down from that psak. V'lo ashkichad v'shumachom hachbracha. Says Rabbi Natam, we can't make up a bracha. Chazal won't have that bracha. The Gemara later on, it quotes all the brachas that we have for main shalosh. The Gemara quotes the text of Allah Michin, the Gemara quotes the text of Allah Peiris, the Gemara quotes the text of Allah Geffen, and nowhere does the Gemara quote Allah Dagva Priya Dagva. It says Rabbi Natam, the Gemara doesn't quote it because it doesn't exist. So the Balei Tosfos are not sure what to do. So they throw their hands up and say, we have no idea what bracha chorad you make when you eat something which is kosher as achita. Kosher is always as ishkafela because you make a burn of fashas because you never make more than a burn of fashas than rice. But kosher achita is an enigma in halacha. You can't make it ala michya because you didn't make a mezonos. You can't make a ala dama pri adama because we don't find such a bracha. You can't make a burn of fashas because you can make a burn of fashas. It's basically coming from grain, so it should have five pieces of grains. It's required more than just a plain burn of fashas. Tosfos throws their hands up. They don't know what to do. Because there is no cloud necessarily. Burn of fashas is good for everything. We're not so sure that cloud exists. That's a throwback to the general question. Do we say that anytime you said something true, so then it's automatically yotze? So we don't find that explicitly by chazal by burn of fashas. So the Rishon throw the hands up. The Shulchan Aruch throws the hands up. You know what Shulchan Aruch says? Don't eat it unless you wash. He says, I can't tell you what bracha to make. And Pasha doesn't know what bracha to make. So this is a loaded question because this is the granola saga. It's what is the correct bracha in granola? So granola, according to many, is the kosher achita of Chazal. If that is correct, that it's a kosher achita, nothing was really done to this food. It was just kind of taken out. If that's true, then the bracha would be hadama on granola, and the bracha chrona granola would be a one big question mark. So I'm not saying everyone agrees to that, but there are many, many who say that parallel, but that may be the halacha equivalent of manazet. So if that's the case, you can enjoy your granola cereal in the middle of your meal, because Tosfos threw their hands up and says, they're not sure what bracha chrona in the world to make on it. No, so that's the thing. I think the granola is, I think it may be chopped, but it's whole, is what? Rolled oats. I think that's rolled oats. I think that's the official technical definition of granola. I don't know. I'm not sure. A throwback to the last Thursday this year. It could be it's chadash, so maybe oats are a huge problem with chadash, so we'll leave it at that. But if you get yourself a yashan oats, so then you can start to discuss what bracha to make. There are some of the Hamish companies that make granola. There are a couple of Hamish companies that make granola. It says on yashan. Actually, because the oats are even more of a problem. There's things with Matzias getting the yashan oats. It's hard to get the yashan wheat. So the Hamish companies say it. But if you're not so worried about yashan, the chutzlah, it's like last week. So then you can eat your oats. You just have to figure out what the world bracha to make on it. So a little bit of it. Okay. Hope that's from the next year. We have one last part of this sugya about the rice. And then we'll move on to the next one. Next, we'll get him, okay. We'll get him. Okay. Okay, good. Have a good day, everyone.
Just get off for a bit. Hi, Ari.
Andrew.